This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again for bringing us together and for making us from amongst those who get together for the sake of Allah, to remember Allah and to learn more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last week we started talking about al-istikhara, which is seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a very important topic, not only when you want to get married, as we mentioned last week, but for all your affairs. For all your affairs, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, that if you are concerned over any particular matter, then go and pray the two rak'at istikhara, which are seeking the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over that specific matter, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you and show you the path. Tonight, inshallah, we want to talk about something which is similar to it. But istikhara is a prayer that you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance over a particular matter. Then you've got something called istishara, which is seeking guidance or opinion from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So istikhara is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance, who is the creator, and istishara is seeking the opinion of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over a specific or general matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran al-Kareem because he used to consult his people. Not only that he used to consult his people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to consult his people. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. O Muhammad, seek the advice of your people. Consult them. When you really think about it, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek the opinion of his people? All the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to do is just go and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him the way. Why should the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even ask Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali or the rest of the Sahaba? Is their opinion better than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go and seek the advice and consult his own people? وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. O Muhammad, ask and consult your people. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah, all he's got to do is just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azza wa jalla, not only that, he'll show him the way, Allah will show him the best way. So now the opinion will be better than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would guide the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But my brothers and my sisters, the shura, seeking people's opinion, it's not only just for the purpose of getting the advice over something. It also brings people together. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is responsible in bringing people together. That's his responsibility, to bring people together, to unite the people, to unite the ummah. And one of the ways and methods and platforms in bringing people together and uniting people is to consult them. You know, sometimes it's good that you consult someone, even though you already know the right way. But it's good to consult someone for the purpose of just captivating this person and getting this person closer to you. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to consult his people. Not because of just getting their opinion. It's not like in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't care about their opinion and their opinion means absolutely nothing. That's not right. But their opinion means something. But at the same time, bringing the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum together and uniting their hearts and getting them closer to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, getting them closer to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself, also is a very important aspect of the prophecy, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam has that responsibility in bringing people closer to him. And one of the ways of bringing people closer to you is for you to consult them. That's why it's nice from time to time for you to consult your family, even though you know the answer. Consult them. Speak to your wife. You as a wife, speak to your husband. Speak to your children. What do you think of this? Even though you already know the answer. But it's good that you bring people closer to you through consultation. Through consultation, you could bring people to you. You could get them closer to you. Consult them. Through consultation, you could get the heart closer to you. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also praises the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in the Quran Kareem, wa amruhum shura baynahum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, in which Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about them, and Allah Azza wa Jalla says, wa amruhum shura baynahum. They used to consult each other. That's a character of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, which is a character of a true believer at the end of the day. And we all want to be true believers. Every single one of us wants to achieve and to become a true believer in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to become a true believer, and you want to become a true believer. And that's one of the primary reasons they're here tonight. Because you want to be a true believer. You want to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're a true believer. You want to be recorded in the records of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're a true believer. So one of the signs of a true believer, that he or she consult their fellow brothers and sisters. Consult one another. Not always, just, you know, whatever's in my mind, I'm just going to do and dictate. Islam is about consultation. Islam is about shura. Islam is about, you know what? What do you think of this? And you'll find that very explicit, very apparent in the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Always consulting the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Always speaking to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Always getting the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum for something called shura. Shura, which is a forum of consultation. A forum of consultation. Let us get together and talk about this. What do you think? Okay, brothers, listen down together and talk. What do you suggest we should do? How can we build this masjid? Which way should we build it? And that's what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Not only just on small matters, on big matters and small matters. He used to bring them together. Okay, what do you suggest? What do you think? Maybe the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already decided what he wanted to do. Maybe that's one of the things the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already decided what he wanted to do. But it's good to involve people in the decision making. And that's part of a true character of a leader. That's part of leadership. Part of leadership is that you consult people, not dictate people. Arabs, not religious ones, of course. Arabs, to them, leadership is to dictate people. Tell people what to do. And that's why, alhamdulillah, the Arab world are all a bunch of dictators. That's not leadership. Leadership is not like, when I order, everyone just obeys. When I ask, everyone listens. That's dictatorship. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he says something, no one's going to say anything to him. Because he's the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. And if you are surrounded, or if you are around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet alayhi wa sallam tells you one thing, or he commands you to do anything, the first thing that you've got in your mind, that this is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's no way you'll challenge what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the authority. If he commands, everyone will obey. If he says, everyone will listen. But on the top of all this, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will constantly consult his people. What do you suggest? What do you suggest that we do? Where do you suggest that we go? What do you suggest I'll do with him? What do you suggest I'll do with them? That's leadership. That's true leadership. Because at the end of the day, a leader is someone that brings people together, not divides them. One of the primary goals of a leader is to unite people, to bring people together, not to divide them. How are you going to unite people when you're only dictating them? How are you going to attract people towards you and get people to respect you if you only dictate them? And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. He's the one that receives a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to sit down with the Sahaba. What do you suggest? What's your opinion on this? After the Battle of Badr, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down with him. Before the Battle of Badr, even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down with him. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marched out of Medina to fight against the people of Quraysh, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down with 313 companions. And he said, what do you suggest? Should we fight them or not? When the news reached the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ that the people of Quraysh had marched with 1,000 of their soldiers, 1,000 of their fighters, coming to fight the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and Nabi ﷺ had only 313. And now Nabi ﷺ is going to be fighting triple the number of his army. And not only that are triple the number of the Prophet Muhammad's army, they are a lot more prepared than the Prophet Muhammad. More prepared than what the Prophet Muhammad is prepared. So Nabi Sallam got together with the Sahaba, Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas. What do you suggest? What's your opinion? Let me hear from you. It's not like, I am the Prophet, I'm the messenger, I'm your leader, I'm your general, I'm your master, what I say goes. You know what? It's true. And at the end of it, realistically, what he says is going to go. But at the end of the day, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has the responsibility of bringing the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum together. What do you suggest? Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas. What do you suggest? Tell me. Should we fight or not? Should we move forward or not? And after the battle of Badr, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were victorious in the battle of Badr. They won against the people of Quraysh, against the non-believers. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had over 70 prisoners of war, captives. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's the first time the Prophet alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, or the Muslims during that time, encounter captivity, or they have people in their responsibility as captives. They have captives in their hands. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down with the Sahaba and he said, okay, what do you suggest we do with them? We've got 70 captives from the non-believers. What do you suggest? That's the first time we ever do this. That's the first time we go out all at war. And alhamdulillah we won. And alhamdulillah we have 70 non-believers, non-believing captives. What do you suggest that we do with them? So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala started to suggest different opinions. From one extreme to the other extreme. Umar ibn Khattab said, oh messenger of Allah, kill them all. Get rid of them all. And Abu Bakr said, oh messenger of Allah, all these people, if not all of them, three quarters of them, and families, and people, and progeny, and mothers and fathers, and brothers and sisters, and people. Like, because that most of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, or a big number of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, are from the Muhajirin. So they're originally from the people of Quraysh, in which they have families there. They've got family members, and some of those family members were captives. Some of them were the fathers of some of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, the brothers of some of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down with the Sahaba and he suggested, and he said, tell me, okay, suggest upon me, let me know. What do you suggest? One went from one extreme that said, kill them, and not only kill them, Umar Khattab didn't just say, kill them. He said, no. Identify each non-believing captive and find out where's his family amongst us and get his family to kill him. So, okay, get this non-Muslim captive and find out with his brother, with his father, with his son, and get his own brother to kill his own brother from the non-believers. And he went, whether you want to call it extreme or not, but that's his opinion. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, oh messenger of Allah, there are families. Some of these people are brothers, are fathers, and nephews, are sons to us. Free them for the sake of Allah. Look at the contrast of the opinions. One that's going extreme right, the other one that's going extreme left. In my point of view, of course, yani, I'm just saying it this way. But it's an opinion at the end of the day. Umar ibn Khattab saying, oh messenger of Allah, kill them. The other one is saying, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is saying, oh messenger of Allah, free them. And then one of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu suggested and said, oh messenger of Allah, best thing is ransom them. Ransom them in a way that, okay, whoever's got money, whoever has wealth, whoever can ransom themselves and pay themselves out, get them to pay themselves out. And whoever doesn't have money and knows how to read and write, get them to teach 10 of the Muslims how to read and write and then free them. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam agreed with that. For them to pay themselves out. For them to ransom themselves. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went with that opinion. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse in the Quran Karim what exactly to do when it comes to captives and prisoners of war. So this is the situation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the character of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, always consulting the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, even when it comes to religious affairs. Why should the Prophet and Messenger even ask his people? All he's got to do is just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah wants to teach the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the importance of consultation, consulting the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and attracting the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and getting them closer to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, it's mankind's nature, human beings' nature. Subhanallah, when someone comes up to tells you, what do you think I should do with that? Even though you've got no knowledge, you might say to him, look, wallah, I've got no idea, but you'll appreciate it. Wallah, this guy, wallah, really cares about my opinion. So next time when you see this person, you just want to get close to him. And that's exactly what the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That's why they were very close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to consult him. What do you think? What do you suggest? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had the answer. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam already knows what he needs to do. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him what to do. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam just wants to consult the Sahaba, just to make them feel that are part of the decision making. And when you give people the ownership, people feel part of the entity, the organization, the movement. And that's one of the major contributors to keeping the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and loyal to the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's one of the contributors. And as part of the leadership characteristics or leadership personality is that for you always to try and identify different platforms for you to keep your people around you. How can I keep these people close to me? How can I keep these people loyal to me? How can I keep these people listening to me? One of them is shura. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and describes the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, wa amruhum shura baynahum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum for always conducting shura amongst each other or shura to one another. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sulh Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam set out from Medina to Mecca, traveled from Medina to Mecca with the purpose of performing Umrah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum about his dream. And his dream was that he saw himself performing Umrah. And that was about 7 years after the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been disconnected from the Kaaba, from Mecca. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam marched from Medina to Mecca with the purpose of performing Umrah. We all know the story what happened where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was stopped. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed to sign a treaty between him and the people of Quraysh. And one of the items and one of the agreements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and conditions that he had agreed to is for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum along with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to return back this year and to come back the following year. So that was hard. That was a bit hard on the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum for them to grasp at the very beginning. They've marched and traveled from Medina to Mecca, not in five-star buses, air-conditioned buses, where mashallah everything's in there. Like alhamdulillah, the last 2 years, not only the air-conditioned, toilets, and there's even USB ports. You've got USB ports now in the buses. Everything's there, mashallah. Everything's so comfortable. Now, they used to travel on foot, and they used to walk right in the middle of the hot desert under the hot sun for days and weeks, if not months. And they were so motivated and inspired. They were so looking forward to seeing the Kaaba and performing tawaf and performing Umrah. And then they were blocked. They were stopped. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed to that. And I agreed to go back and come back the following year. It was very hard for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to grasp. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, that's it, we're going back home. There's no Umrah for us. Oh, Messenger of Allah, but you told us this and you told us in your dream and you told us we're going to perform Umrah, this and that. He said, yes, I did see a dream and I did see myself performing Umrah and I did tell you we're going to perform Umrah, but I never told you when. It could be this year, it could be next year, it could be the following year. I never promised you, I never indicated when. I just told you yes, and inshallah we will. And it did happen. It was very hard for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to grasp and comprehend the fact that after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them and they left Medina, they came all the way to Mecca, and they're only a few kilometers away from the Kaaba, they can't even perform Umrah anymore. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, okay, let's return back. In order for you to come out of Ihram, you have to shave and slaughter your lamb or sheep or your sacrificial animal that you bring with as hadi, which is a slaughter. The Sahaba found it to be very hard for them to comprehend this, so they didn't immediately obeyed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I didn't say they disobeyed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't rush into it. They didn't haste. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam expected for them to rush straight away. That's it, okay. They were hoping maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal a verse and say to Muhammad, no, don't worry about it, just march into Mecca and that's it. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I want everyone right now to take off the ihram, shave your hair, slaughter your sacrificial animal, and go back home. Majority of the Sahaba did not obey the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Or maybe, I'll take that word back, majority of the Sahaba did not immediately obey the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went in his tent with Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, his wife. She was in that tent and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walked in so angry and upset and he said, how would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give success to a nation that disobeyed the Prophet? So Umm Salama said the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, oh Messenger of Allah, calm down. As you could imagine, the Sahaba are very motivated, or they were very motivated in them, traveling from Medina to Mecca to come perform Umrah. And right now they're just hit and they are struck with this news that they have to go back with the Umrah. Just let them grasp it. Just relax. Maybe they're waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send a verse or Allah to reveal a verse upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon you for you to turn back and go and enter Mecca forcefully. You don't know. You don't know what's going through the mind of the Sahaba. They're just a bit upset. They were looking forward to this moment. They're going to be performing Umrah and right now they're asked to go back and return back home. Just as you told them, oh Messenger of Allah, how about I suggest upon you, you get out of this tent, you shave your hair, you slaughter and sacrificial slaughter, and see what the Sahaba will do after it. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took on board the advice of Umm Salama. Who's Umm Salama? She's the wife of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She's a female, she's a woman. And yet the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam still listened to her. So regardless whether it's a man or woman, you should be consulting people. So the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam exited this tent, and then he called the barber, he came and shaved his hair, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with his own hands started to slaughter the sacrificial slaughter. When the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum saw that with their own eyes, what did they do? Everyone followed suit. Everyone followed suit. Every single one of them followed the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, followed the footsteps of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they've realized the determination of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everyone followed the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No one held back. That's it. That's it. They knew this is a determination. This is the fate. So all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, without an exception of any of them, every single one of them followed the footsteps of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, shaved their hair and slaughtered their sacrificial slaughter. So the point is, how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam consulted Umm Salama. He consulted Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And not only that, the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam even described the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam of being that person that's always consulting them. That's the character of a true leader. That's part of leadership. Not wallahi, whatever I say goes. In Arabic, my word will never be two words. My order will never be two orders. Because I'm the man. I'm the dictator. I'm the leader. Subhanallah, people mix between dictatorship and leadership. You're wrong. A true leader is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he's the one that used to consult his Sahaba. And he used to even consult the young ones. And he used to consult men, and he used to consult women. He used to listen to them. That's the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When a woman came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam saying to him, O Messenger of Allah, we as women, we sat amongst each other, and we've realized they're always giving all the attention to the men, and we don't even have one specific session or gathering for us. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that's it. As from next week, that's it. On that specific time, that specific day, we'll be getting together for a special lesson for the sisters. It's not like, who are you to come and tell me what to do? Who are you? You know the attitude? It's always me, me, me. My word, my dictatorship. No, that's not part of leadership. A leader is someone that knows how to take his people, his followers, from one destination to another destination, to an objective, to a goal, whilst he's got all his followers supporting him to that goal. These days you've got a lot of leaders that take people to a goal, but without support. People are cursing these people. They're just following them because they have to follow them. Because they rule with an iron fist. Yes, because they rule with an iron fist. It's not up to you, you just got to do what I told you to do. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a true leader. And part of the leader quality. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to follow the leadership of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is shura, consultation. And obviously when you consult someone, you go and consult someone who specializes in a specific area. Just because someone is a sheikh, don't go and ask him about plumbing. Okay, it's like once I remember someone called me. Assalamu alaikum sheikh, alaikum assalam. And the sheikh, I've got a house. And I'm listening, okay. I thought he wants to ask me about a question, you know, about riba. I've got a house and I want to sell it. I want to put it on the market. I said, yeah. I said, you know, because, you know, the price is this and that. And he started to give me this introduction report. And I told him, yeah. I told him, okay, you called me. What do you want from me, you know? I didn't talk to him like that, but, you know, I just want to know exactly what do you want. He said, you know, I'm just asking you what's the best way for me to sell my house. I told him, did you call a sheikh or did you call a real estate agent? When you called me, told me sheikh. Wallah, the guy called me and he told me about what's the best way for him to sell his house. I mean, it didn't want to tell you, I'm a real estate agent, I'm a sheikh. It doesn't just because I'm a sheikh, doesn't mean I know everything. It doesn't mean because you're a real estate agent, also you know everything. When you want to go and consult someone, go and consult the specialist and the expert in the area. So for example, if it's deen, go and speak to a sheikh. If it's about selling a house, go and speak to a real estate agent. If it's about engineering, go and speak to an engineer. If it's about medicine, go and speak to a pharmacist. If it's about this, go and speak to this person. Consult. So consultation doesn't mean, wallah, you just consult everyone for everything. That's not right. You consult the right people for the right job. And if it's something general within the family, you consult the family. If it's something general within the community, you consult the community. And obviously it's not possible for you to go and consult every single person. That's why we've got something in the Sharia, Ahlul Hal wal Aqd. The people that tie things and loosen things. That's the literal translation of what I just mentioned to you right now. Which means the people have the influence of making decisions. The shakers and the makers. We have that term in Arabic. And they're usually the leaders of the tribes, the leaders of the community, the imams and mashaykh. It's not like, well, you've got 1 million Muslim, you have to go and consult 1 million Muslim. You consult the heads. People who make things and break things. The shakers and the makers. The ones who have influence. You consult them. So don't get too drastic. Don't get too extreme. Like I'm going to go and consult every single person. I'm even going to go and consult my 5-year-old son. How can I build my house? Which car should I buy? Maybe you could consult him. Dad, we're going to buy a car. What color? Just to bring him close. What color? But don't go, oh, what model? Well, what does he know what model? What you, what this? If you want, just consult people according to their mindset, according to their mental capability, according to their understanding, according to their experience. And that's why one of the things that the Sharia encourages you to do, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go and ask the people of knowledge, the people of experience, if you don't know. If you don't know, go and ask. And you know what? Asking is not an embarrassing thing. It's not a shameful thing. You know, people up themselves, you know. I'm not going to ask anyone because I know it all. Mr. Know-it-all. They know everything. That's wrong. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that half of the knowledge is asking. Ask. You don't know, ask. It's not going to lower your status if you're going to ask someone, what do you think of this, what do you suggest of that? Ask. Put yourself at the forefront and go and ask. Inquire. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the verse in the Quran Kareem twice. Ask the people of knowledge and experience of Idanna. Ask. It's good. They engage. And ask more than one source. Get a better understanding of what you want to do. So my brothers and my sisters, the Sharia encourages something called shura, which is consulting. Consulting the people with experience. Consulting the people with expertise. Consulting people with knowledge and understanding. Consulting the specialists. And not only because you want to get an answer, also it brings people together. It's nice as a leader, especially when you're a community leader, to bring people from your constituency, to bring people from your followers, to bring people from your community, for you to sit down with them, consult them, even though you already know the answer. But what do you think? What do you think? And you know what? Wallahi, people appreciate it. That you've asked them and you went against their opinion, But as long as that you've asked him, then you're not asking him at all. Even though what you've done is in line with what they would have probably suggested, but they would have probably been upset. If you ask someone and you went against what they've suggested to you, they'll be more happier than you going and doing something which is in line with what they wanted, but because you didn't ask them, they'll be a lot more upset. SubhanAllah, it's mankind's nature. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala structured us. We like to be given attention. And part of you giving someone attention is to consult them. And one of the people they should keep in mind that for you to consult is your spouse. Especially as brothers, as husbands, consult your wives. Consult them. Even on things that you know you've got more experience than them, but keep them close. That's part of that relationship that you establish with them. And subhanAllah, a lot of the breakdowns of communication and the breakups of relationships is because of not consultation. There's a breakdown of communication. Not consultation. And that's why they end up breaking up. Never talks to me, never consults me, goes and does whatever he wants. It's not nice, especially that you've got your wife, you've got your husband, consult him, even though you already know the answer, but just consult. Don't ever do, of course. Every day, wallah, the wife's going to call the husband, what do you want me to cook? Oh, what do you want to cook? Khalas, okay, from time to time, ask that question. But every single day, especially, you know, at 11 o'clock, before lunch, she's calling. What is she calling for? Because, what do you want me to cook for you today? Khalas, mashallah. That's it. Okay, you do that from time to time, but every single day becomes annoying. You know, anything that goes over the limit, because it turns the opposite, you know, like, you know, when something gets very cold, it starts to burn. So you have to have a balance when it comes to dealing with those matters. So when the husband consults his wife, okay, consult her, but keep that balance too. When the wife wants to consult her husband, consult him, but keep that balance. Every time, you know, what do you think I should buy? What do you think I should go? What do you think this? I'm at Woody's. What do you think I should buy? You know, the 2 liter milk or the 3 liter milk? Allah, I'm just buy. Some people, you know, but the Sheikh said, well, I have to consult each other. But not to that extent. You got to consult each other to the extent that you're going to start walking away from each other. I'm trying to keep it together, not to turn you away from each other. You have to keep that balance. So consultation, yes, it's highly commendable, recommended in Sharia. The Sharia recommends you, they constantly consult. Husband and wife consult each other, but keep that balance. There's a boundary that you shouldn't go over. Keep that balance, inshallah, to keep that heart close, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who listen and he act upon what listen. Yeah. I wanna be in Jannah. Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. It pies person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.